Blog Talk Radio.
O woman of the gleaming hair, wild hair that won men's gaze to thee, weary thou turn'st from the common stair, for the Schuler Christ is calling thee. O woman of the snowy side, many a lover hath lain with thee, yet left thee sad at the morning tide, but thy lover Christ shall comfort thee. O woman with a wild thing's heart, old sin hath set a snare for thee. In the forest ways forspent thou art, but the hunter Christ shall pity thee. O woman, spendthrift of thyself, spendthrift of all the love in thee, sold unto sin for a little pelf, the Captain Christ shall ransom thee. O woman that no lover's kiss, though many a kiss was given thee, could slake thy love, is it not for this the hero Christ shall die for thee?
To the Sower, our Protestant Bible study and meditation. Tonight we are going to be reading out of the New King James Version Bible, and the book is the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to be going over chapter 4. So with that said, because there are 44 verses in this chapter and many points, I'm going to change the format of our programming for this show. And in that, hopefully you'll get a more concise, biblically concise aspect of the readings, even with relocations or allocations of other verses throughout the scriptures that back up the things that I'm going to say in reference to what the chapter is trying to get across. Now, I like this one because, one, I just went through a major medical procedure, and there's a specific verse within it that my own mind went and recited to myself. And when you hear it, you'll know what I'm talking about. But we're also going to be talking about the temptations of the Lord. And I want you to kind of reflect on those temptations as I'm reading off some information in reference to it. We are all tempted every single day of our lives. And Christ was tempted when he went into the desert. And even though the scriptures only point out three major aspects of the temptation, and basically at the end of the 40 days of his fasting and meditation, there's no doubt in my mind that there were other temptations that were across the path of Christ during those 40 days. Christ was a man just like you and I are. And in that aspect, granted, he is the Son of God, and we are sons of God. We're not the Son of God. But with that said, we are tempted, and Christ was tempted. So you're no better than Christ. I'm no better than Christ. So why should we not be tempted? And yet, no matter what happens to us in our lives. And I think that's what I want to edify you with on the understanding of Luke chapter 4. So before we get started, let's say a quick prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, in the words that our Savior gave us, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, let us begin. Luke chapter 4. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by the very word of God. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, All this authority I will give you, their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and in him only you shall serve. Verse 9. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, It has been said, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an appropriate time. Verse 14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the news of him went out through all the surrounding region. And he taught in the synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, and he gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And all the eyes of all who were there in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious works or gracious words which proceeded out of the mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" Then he said, "You will surely say this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.'" Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in our country. Excuse me, in your country. Verse 24. Then he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent, except to Zarephath, if I'm pronouncing that right, in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except for Naaman the Syrian." Verse 28. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. 31. Then he went down to Capernaum, a city in Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teachings, for his word was with authority. Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we done with you? What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not harm him. Verse 36. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word this is! For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the report about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house, but Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever. And they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and served them. Verse 40. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out, many crying out and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Now, when it was day, into a deserted place, and the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the understanding of this particular chapter has many reflections that we can incorporate our own lives on a daily basis. And one, I want you to think of, in certain points, I'm going to make comments that can relate to us today. And hopefully I can get through this whole chapter in reference in the next 15 minutes. So let's go move on here. The order of the temptation differs between Matthew and Luke. Luke has the temptation about Jerusalem last, probably because Jerusalem is the place Jesus is headed for, decisive confrontation with Satan. In his temptation, Jesus demonstrated not only his ability to resist the devil, but also his allegiance to God. What Abraham could not do, Jesus did. Where Israel had failed in the wilderness, Jesus succeeded. If you are the Son of God, verse 3. This is a conditional statement. In other words, Satan was saying, let's assume, for the sake of argument, that you are the Son of God. In fact, Satan was challenging Jesus' identity and authority. Ladies and gentlemen, how often do we challenge Jesus? Do we challenge Jesus and say, heal me? Do we challenge Jesus and say, give me this? Do we challenge Jesus, I want that? Help this person? Do that? Do this? We do it all the time. We challenge Jesus' authority. And then when he does not produce it in the way that we think he should, well, then we lose faith. And that is exactly playing into the hand of Satan, because he knows that Jesus is not always going to do what we want, just as he didn't do what Satan wanted. So, again, you're no better than Christ, and some things we need to do for ourselves, and we'll get to that point. Where it says in verse 4, it is written, Jesus responded to Satan's temptation by quoting Deuteronomy 8:3. Jesus refused to operate independently of God. The Spirit had led him into the wilderness to prepare him for his ministry. So eating at Satan's instruction would have shown a lack of dependence on the Father. How many times do we do that ourselves? We ask God for help on something, but then almost immediately we take it back upon ourselves and take it from him. We don't give him the time to make things work out for us and in his glory. And so we claim the glory ourselves, when in reality, there's no glory for you at all in doing whatever it is that you're doing. It is all the glory of God, and it all works for his glory. You asked, and you asked in Jesus' name, and so you shall receive. Maybe not in the same time frame that you had hoped, but we live in that time where we have instant gratification on so many things. For example, in simplicity, we hit a switch on the wall, and the light comes on. Back in their day, they had to go around and gather the oil. Then they had to go and fill the lamps. Then they had to go and light the lamps. Then they had to go and blow out the lamps. You see what I'm saying? God gives us each and every day as a gift. So in turn, how do we turn them around and take that back and try to do for ourselves, thinking that we did it and not God? We take God out of the equation, and we never should. I see that time is really slipping through here. Okay, in 4:6, he says this. He says, this has been delivered to me. Satan's claim here is exaggerated. He has great authority over the earth. You can see John chapter 12, verse 31 through 14 and 30. We have 16, verse 11. We have 2 Corinthians 44. We have Ephesians 22 that you can refer to, but not the authority to deliver kingdoms. Only God can give that kind of authority. Why? Because they all belong to him. So that is why Satan exaggerated his authority here on earth. So if he exaggerates his authority here on earth, that means that you shouldn't put your faith in him or worship him. If you do, you're worshiping a false God. And that is against what God says. Have no other God but before me. Get behind me, Satan. Later, Jesus makes the statement to Peter when he becomes a channel for Satan's message. Matthew chapter 16, verse 23. In response to Satan's second temptation, Jesus cited Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. Jesus knew that only God is worthy of worship, that only God is to be served. So let's move on here a little bit more. Until an opportune time, verse 13. This is but the first of several encounters Jesus had with Satan and his forces. So think of it that way also in your life. You will have continual temptations and encounters with Satan and his demons. And only you have the power through God who is within you to expel those or rise to the challenge of defeating Satan and the temptations, which are God's glory, because you have just proven yourself to be worthy. So, with that said, let's move on to... He closed the book. Chapter 4, verse 20. In the middle of the sentence, did not continue because the next phrase was the day of vengeance of our God. It was not being fulfilled then. In verse 21, Jesus proclaimed the fulfillment of God's plan and promises in himself, since he is the figure described in the passage. Luke often notes the presence of the fulfillment by including a reference to today. Verse 11, 5 verse 26, 12 verse 28, 13 verse 32, and it goes on. Chapter 33, verse 19, or chapter 19, verse 5. Chapter 9, 5 to 9. Chapter 22, verse 34 to 61, and chapter 23, verse 43. There are many times in that, because what Christ is referring to is Isaiah chapter 6, verse 12. In the portion of 4:23, physician, heal yourself, the request for more signs was for Jesus to prove his claim by repeating the type of miracles and work he had done in Capernaum. Such requests for signs are often contained as a mocking tone, with a mocking tone. Jesus in 24 made it clear that he is God's messenger who declares God's ways. However, Jesus also knew that a prophet is often rejected. This is a lesson of the Old Testament, to which Jesus and other New Testament authors allude. You can go back and see 11:47 through 51 and Acts chapter 7, 51 through 53. When the demons are speaking, ladies and gentlemen, in the tone of authority in verse 34, let us alone, The demon knew that Jesus proceeded divine authority, and he wanted nothing to do with him, the Holy One of God. Even a demon witnessed to Jesus' divinity in the Old Testament. In the title, Holy One referred to a person with a special call from God. In Psalms 106, verse 16, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 9, where he talks about a holy man, a saint. Luke records the demon's use of this title as proof that Jesus is the promised Messiah. So Christ rebukes him. This term is an Aramaic, was a technical term for calling evil into submission. Jesus' authority over evil forces it clear. He possesses the authority and power to grant salvation, as well as be quiet. Jesus, not Satan, and his demons controlled who would testify to his messianic identity. Why Jesus silenced such confessions is not clear. Possibilities include the following. A messianic confession might label him as a political revolutionary, something he was not. And two, Jesus might have preferred that his works testify to his Masonic identity. And you can go into chapter 7, verse 18 through 23. Thirdly, the Israelites might have thought it was not appropriate for a Messiah to be announced until Masonic works were achieved. Others regarded all Messiahs by the Jews in this period, such as teachers of righteousness, Qumran, and Simeon ben Kospa, were also hesitant to make direct messianic claims. Four, Jesus might have welcomed a testimony from a demon. Five, it might not have been God's time for Jesus to reveal his messianic identity. And in verse 39, he says, the fact that Simon's mother-in-law served her guests immediately indicates that her recovery from fever is simultaneously healing in the Bible, as always, immediate. Ladies and gentlemen, with that said, I want you to understand in just the last 45 seconds here that God does things for those and answers the calls of those that are righteous in him, those that do not doubt, those that have absolute faith, and those that continue in his walk and work every single day of their lives. Now, I am a testament to that. I am a testament to that. I've had some miraculous healing to my own body by my faith and many, many prayers that have come by others to God on my behalf, and God answered those prayers. He will do the same for you, but you cannot doubt his authority. You can knock that in mind and reread Luke chapter 4 and keep that in mind when you do. Well, this is the very Reverend Dr. Andrew Patrick saying God bless, and we hope you've enjoyed The Sower and the Seed. We'll talk to you next week.